live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Irish Water is facing further criticism over its handling of drilling operations in the River Foyle. Deputy Thomas Pringle is making a pre-budget submission to Minister Pascal Donoghue seeking funding to address what he terms is the significant and persistent problem of vacant posts within camp services in Donegal. An expenditure report on direct provision and related services says arson attacks on accommodation earmarked for direct provision centres has possibly made many owners reluctant to offer their properties. And a person has been rescued after falling into the water at Killybegs Harbour this morning. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by Nuacht with Colm Ferrisher. But first in news, Irish Water is facing further criticism over its handling of drilling operations in the River Foyle. Operations have now halted in Moville, and in a statement issued this week to Highland Radio News, the utility says they suspended operations because of concerns that the works might be obstructed and that they have put the safety of their contractors' personnel first. However, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has hit out at Irish Water over its lack of communication with public representatives. He says he has been in contact with the utility for the past 3 weeks, seeking answers to numerous questions but to no avail. Senator McLaughlin is demanding Irish Water address the concerns without further delay.
As a public representative with genuine concerns that have been put to me by the community in the Moville Greencastle area, I'm frankly outraged that for 3 weeks I've been seeking to get questions about what level of consultation Irish Water had with the locks agency, who are responsible for Lough Foyle, with local fishermen, who are responsible for the natural oyster beds in the area that they were seeking to drill. They haven't answered those questions. And now I have more. I mean, what has been the cost of this operation in transporting, assembling and leasing this equipment? What has been the response to the concerns of the locks agency that we now know about? And why have they said that there were safety reasons for suspending this operation? Are they accusing members of the community of intimidation, which would be outrageous? I need all these questions answered, and I need them answered quickly.
And also, what is needed on the ground? Many people are saying that there has been no consultation at all, so this is deeply worrying as well.
Oh, indeed. I think it smacks of arrogance. I think there's a lack of understanding that this has been handled terribly. I mean, the oyster beds, the environmental concerns around that Moville to Greencastle coast are real from a range of stakeholders, the local community, the local fishermen who have fished there for generations, and they clearly didn't consult with them. And rather than admit the mistakes they have made, they have referred to safety concerns, almost casting aspersions on people that are completely unjustified. I think this is arrogant. I think it's outrageous. And I am demanding answers as a public representative from Irish Water about all of this.
An expenditure report on direct provision and related services says arson attacks on accommodation earmarked for direct provision centres has possibly made many owners reluctant to offer their properties. In November of last year, an arson attack resulted in extensive damage being caused to the Castlemara Hotel Moville, which was due to house 100 asylum seekers. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The report published today by the Department of Justice says at present, procuring accommodation centres is proving difficult for reception and integration agency due to a number of factors. The report also highlights the fact that recent fire-setting incidents in proposed new centres has possibly affected the market interest in service provision and increased insurance costs within the sector. The Castlemara Hotel in Moville was earmarked to house 100 asylum seekers in December of last year. However, an arson attack on the premises resulted in the reception area of the hotel being badly affected by fire in the early hours of November 25th. The owner of the property was also injured during the incident. The report published by the Department of Justice also says the outcome of Brexit has the potential to further increase the pressures and costs on direct provision. A link to the full report is available on our website, highlandradio.com.
Western Building Systems says it's committed to working with the Department of Education to resolve structural issues at a number of schools it built. 17 schools, including Letterkenny Educate Together National School, have been assessed as having similar safety issues to those identified last year in 22 others. The company says the department promised an independent review of the school's building programme. However, it's still awaiting details of the terms of reference, the independent chair or investigators, and international best practice guidance. The contractor says several questions have been raised, including why 42 schools previously certified by the department's own assessors were suddenly deemed to have defects. Western Building Systems says it will again write to the Minister for Education and Skills, seeking a firm deadline for the publication of the independent report. Donegal TD Thomas Pringle is making a pre-budget submission to Minister Pascal Donoghue, seeking funding to address what he terms the significant and persistent problem of vacant posts within child and adolescent mental health services in Donegal. Deputy Pringle says the current situation is taking two steps forward and one step back, with a historic difficulty in recruiting staff now exacerbated by what he believes is an effective recruitment ban. Deputy Pringle says CAMHS has never been fully staffed and the situation is worsening.
Minister is doing this crazy stuff where he thinks that he can save the healthcare budget by implementing staff cutbacks, which has been penny-wise and pound-foolish, really, because, well, you might save the cost of somebody's recruitment now. In the long run, the patients will end up with needing more care and will actually cost more to deal with. And that's happening right across the health service. And CAMHS, unfortunately, has been caught up in that. The mental health services have always had difficulty in recruiting staff, but now they've been caught up in the cutbacks as well, where we see it right across the health board in the hospital in Letterkenny, in community services, in CAMHS, where basically in a futile attempt to try and save money, they're not recruiting urgently needed staff.
So it is your belief then that this is an issue of staff not being recruited because of a lack of funds? Because our understanding has traditionally been in instances like this that they're looking for the staff but they can't get them.
Yeah, that would have been the case up until probably this year. The HSE won't admit that they have a funding freeze or a recruitment freeze on, but that is actually what is happening. So we have a combined problem now where it is difficult to recruit qualified staff for mental health services in the county. There's no doubt about that, but they've also been frozen as well now because of cost measures.
A person has been rescued after falling into the water at Killybegs Harbour this morning. The Killybegs Coast Guard were tasked to the scene following reports of a person falling overboard from a trawler in the harbour. The casualty was recovered by the Coast Guard and transferred to a waiting ambulance. The Coast Guard has paid tribute to the ambulance service, Sinbad Marine Services and harbour staff for their help during the operation. Meanwhile, a visiting angler came to the rescue yesterday in Sion Mills after a young boy and a woman got into difficulty in the River Mourn. It's understood the child had entered the water and after getting into difficulty, the woman who was unable to swim also entered the water in an attempt to rescue the boy. After being alerted to the unfolding incident by a child in distress on the banks of the river, angler Aidan went into the water in a bid to return the pair to the shore. He managed to pull them back to safety by the use of his landing net. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Aidan says instinct kicked in.
I was fishing there in the Gravenew pool in the River Mourn down there, and I was fishing away and I heard a lot of screaming from a young boy in distress on the side of the bank, so sort of caught my attention and went to see what was going on, and you know, dropped my rod and realised that a girl and another girl and a young lad had got into difficulties, and the young boy was in the bank screaming, you know, just instinct kicked in, and I just went down after him, went up over, you know, over my waders. There was another fishing angler there as well, and he sort of assisted me. I went in and he sort of grabbed the hood of my coat as I went in, but as it was going further in, the kept submerging and disappearing under the water, and I came back up and down, so I had the landing net, and thankfully I was able to get the landing net around him, you know, any longer, you know, because they were going down a few times, and I couldn't see them at points, you know, so I thought at one point it was gone right in under myself, of young children myself, and I just realised that it was a young child there, and someone had to do something, and I was just the one who was there on stage.
Had they gone in for swim and got into difficulty, or?
As far as I know, the young lad sort of had just went in, and I didn't see that at that point, and the girl that was with him, she couldn't swim herself, but she went in after him, because the young lad was in difficulty, yeah. That's all I know, and I didn't realise at the time, but I was up to my neck, so my waders were starting to fill themselves, you know, at that point then, when I couldn't see them, I thought, I'm going to have to go under here, and thank God there was another President Angler there, he was able to pull me in then, pull me up by the hand. He grabbed my arm and then I pulled him in with the landing net. And at one point I thought it wasn't because they were submerged underwater several times. Just lucky I was able to get the net around them and get them in and grab the net and pull them in. You know.
The Department of Social Protection has been told to destroy data that it has on over 3 million citizens. The Data Protection Commissioner has found that the Public Services Card is in breach of data protection laws. It's criticised the department for holding on to documents submitted by people as proof of identity when applying for the card. Commissioner Helen Dixon says the department is keeping documents such as people's utility bills on file.
The department has put forward a number of arguments as to why they were retaining all of that supplementary documentation. One of them is around auditing, which if that is a requirement to audit its processes and check that registration has been done consistently and correctly across its various offices, that would require retention for a very short period of time and not the indefinite.
GSOC has received a total of 1,448 allegations of malpractice against Gardaí so far this year, 28 of them in Donegal. According to details released under the Freedom of Information Act, only one has been upheld, but the majority are still open. Nearly 500 allegations relate to abuse of authority or neglect of duty, 10 related to sexual offences. Sinn Féin's Justice spokesperson Martin Kenny says he's concerned it's taking GSOC several months to rule on complaints.
The timeframe is a reflection of a situation where a GSOC, when they get a complaint in and they go to an investigation into it, they naturally enough have to seek information from a Garda Síochána Síochána, and there's huge delays in that. There is a big issue here where the Gardaí seem to be able to stonewall and block, suppose thwart the efforts of GSOC to try and get to the bottom of some of these issues. It's part of the culture which exists in the Garda Síochána Síochána of circling the wagons and making sure that nobody can get to the bottom of these issues.
Frank Thornton, the Vice President of the Garda Representative Association, says many complaints are made on the basis of people not understanding Garda procedures. He also says the year-on-year trend is down and that's to be welcomed.
It's encouraging from a Garda point of view because it shows a trend that is declining. And if the trend continues on year-end, the complaints against Garda will be down about 7 or 8% compared to last year, which also showed a drop compared to 2017. Members of the public, sometimes it's perception, and a lot of members of the public don't understand the procedures as regards investigations and so on. So a lot of it will be down to that as well.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with great back-to-school offers in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with international football. Tottenham teenage striker Troy Parrott has been included in a provisional 40-man Republic of Ireland squad for next month's Euro 2020 qualifier with Switzerland. The 17-year-old is one of three new faces, along with Stoke defender Nathan Collins and Doncaster's former Cork City winger Kieran Sadler. Crystal Palace midfielder James McCarthy gets his first call-up from Mick McCarthy and could make his first international appearance in 35 months. Ireland play the Swiss at the Aviv on September 5th before Bulgaria visit Dublin for a friendly 5 days later. There's no room for goalkeeper Kevin Kelleher in that squad, but he could make his Liverpool debut against Southampton tomorrow. Manager Jurgen Klopp has revealed second-choice keeper Adrian was injured in the Super Cup win on Wednesday after a collision with a pitch invader. First-choice keeper Alisson is facing a number of weeks out with a calf injury, while emergency signing Andy Lorigan is waiting in the wings. Well, following the European exit this week, Dundalk are back in action in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trusty League this evening. The leaders take on in-form Finn Harps at Oriel Park. Harps are battling relegation, have won three league games on the bounce. Ollie Horgan knows a number of things have to go their way tonight, which would include a possible European hangover for the hosts.
I hope you're right, but that would say the other school of thought is, you know, that they're playing at a serious high level on Tuesday night there against Slovakian side, you know, the top Slovakian side, and that's the pace that they're used to playing at, so that it can work both ways. We're hoping it works, that the fact that, you know, they went out of the competition, but, you know, the pace that they played with and at on Tuesday night is a savage pace with the quality of the opposition as well. So we're hoping they're not better than normal, to put it that way, to you, you know. But look, we have to be at the top of our game to have any hope up there, to put it that way, to you.
Point on the road to the champions elect Dundalk would be a very good result, would it, Ollie?
Most certainly, yeah. You know, we haven't scored up there in the recent past, certainly not in my time. Yeah, we got a point at home to them very, very early in the season, which was, you know, a huge achievement. But if we can keep it tight, you know, and not fall too far behind early in the game, well, look, we could make a battle of it, as we did last week. But should you go behind early and concede a second in Oriel Park, it's not a nice place to be. But look, we've nothing to lose in the rushing, to put it that way, to you, and hopefully we can acquit ourselves well.
Ollie Horgan, in their last 10 meetings, Harps have scored once, while Dundalk have scored 29 goals. Live action tonight here in Highland. Updates with Chris Ashmore as from the 8 o'clock kickoff time. Also tonight at 7:45, it's third against second at the Brandywell, where Derry City host Shamrock Rovers. One would see the Candy Stripes move to within 3 points off the hoops. Derry boss Declan Devine.
Listen, I watched Shamrock Rovers in Europe over the last number of weeks, and they were sensational in Europe, and the way they retained the ball and their style of play was fantastic. You know, for us to be able to bring it down to 3 points shows that our players are doing quite well themselves. But it is very much about points now at the minute, but it's also about, you know, making sure that you go into every game and treat it with the utmost respect, and we're under no illusions. It's very difficult, but, you know, it's difficult for everybody at the minute, because everybody's trying to pick up points in this last phase of games to get under the top position. So one loser draw on Friday night, we still have a lot of football to be done, but we're certainly going into the game in a positive frame of mind, and in a way that, you know, we want to get points from every single game, and that's what the players have given us all year, and hopefully we go again on Friday.
Also tonight, there's a Dublin derby as Bows take on UCD. St Pat's are up against Sligo Rovers, and Cork City go to Waterford. Another senior soccer in the Premiership of the Irish League. 6 games down for decision tomorrow. Among them, Institute, who play their second home tie of the new campaign, still looking for a win. They host Carrick Rangers, and Coleraine are on the road as they go to Belfast, taking on the champions Linfield. Van Harps underage player Luke McGlynn has been included in the Republic of Ireland under 16 squad for friendlies against Denmark and England. Paul O'Sam's team travel to England today. They'll take on the Danes at English FA headquarters at St George's Park on Tuesday before taking on the hosts at the same venue next Thursday. Well, the weather has affected the cricket action in the Northwest for today. Brady are the hosts of the Interprovincial T20 Festival involving the 4 provinces, and there's been no play on day one so far. The first match scheduled was the Northern Knights against the Leinster Lightning. That was due to start at 11:30, but due to the rain, play was not able to start, so that game was called off. There was an inspection of the wicket at 3 o'clock this afternoon ahead of the Northwest Warriors match against the Munster Reds, but as of this moment, no play has taken place due to a wet wicket, and it looks like that one could possibly be called off as well. Games will continue tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow, the early game is Munster against the Northern Knights, and then at 4 o'clock, the Northwest Warriors are due to play the Leinster Lightning. To golf, Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell will begin the second day of the BMW Championship at Medina, just 4 shots off the lead. Both are 3 under par and tee off either side of 7 o'clock Irish time. Shane Lowry will tee off from level par just after 6. Overnight leader Jason Kograk has moved to 9 under par on day 2 to lead the way there. Paul Dunne's best of the Irish and 4 under par at the Czech Masters has reached the midway stage. Padraig Harrington's moved to 3 under after shooting a 68. Gavin Moynihan is in the clubhouse 2 under, and Eduardo Molinari is the leader at 12 under par. Kilkenny manager Brian Cody and Tipperary boss Liam Sheedy will reveal their hands ahead of the All-Ireland Hurling Final this evening. Seamus Kennedy looks set to keep his place in the Tip 15 for Sunday's match at Croke Park, while Killian Buckley is expected to come into the Kilkenny midfield at the expense of Richie Leahy. There's a full programme of games this weekend in the Donegal All-County Leagues. The first of the action is tonight as Buncrana make the trip to play Inishowen in Division 2. That was due to get underway at 7:30. There's a lot of games to be played in Division 3 and Division 4 on Saturday evening. And then the big games on Sunday will be in the top 2 divisions, with some very interesting relegation battles taking place at both ends of the table in Division 1 and Division 2. A feature game on Sunday from Division 1 is going to be Clonhilly against St Michael's. In athletics, there's a slight change in the route for Sunday's Donegal Half Marathon. Because of the ongoing roadworks at the Station House Hotel, participants will proceed up the town through the roundabout at Lower Main Street, a few hundred yards just after they head off from the start line at Ballymacool. They will then turn down right at the top of Larkins Lane and back onto the Pierce Road by turning left, and then it's on to the regular route once again. Now, online entries have closed as from 5 o'clock today, but if you still want to enter, you can tomorrow afternoon at the desk at the Aura Leisure Centre, which is race headquarters, and it'll be open from 2 to 6pm. There will be over 400 entrants for the Donegal Half Marathon this weekend. Finally, we go to motorsport, and the latest round of the Irish Tarmac Championship is the Ulster Rally. It's the penultimate round. Craig Breen and Paul Nagel are the championship leaders. They have changed machinery for this event. They will compete in a Hyundai i20 R5 and a maximum score once again for Breen and Nagel, and that will give them the Tarmac Championship title for 2019. It's just a one-day event tomorrow, Saturday, with the crews taking on 9 stages based out of Newry in County Down. That's it, Michaela. Don't forget updates from Harps against Dundalk tonight from 8, and our next studio-based programme is tomorrow afternoon, just after the 2 news.
Thanks, Oisin. For weather now, scattered showers this evening with bright spells and cloudy patches and moderate to fresh south to southwest breezes. Showers will continue overnight, some will be heavy, possibly with a risk of thunder, and lowest temperatures between 10 and 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Irish Water is facing further criticism over its handling of drilling operations in the River Foyle. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has hit out at the utility over its lack of communication with public representatives. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle is making a pre-budget submission to Minister Pascal Donoghue seeking funding to address what he terms the significant and persistent problem of vacant posts within child and adolescent mental health services in Donegal. Western Building Systems says it's committed to working with the Department of Education to resolve structural issues at a number of schools it built. 17 schools, including Letterkenny Educate Together National School, have been assessed as having similar safety issues to those identified last year in 22 others. And a person has been rescued after falling into the river at Killybegs Harbour this morning. The Killybegs Coast Guard were tasked to the scene following reports of a person falling overboard from a trawler in the harbour. And that's all from Highland Radio News. For now, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nate with Colm Ferter, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Shewer Massa, Colm Ferter, and Charles, and the Priest Guilty, Dogger and Tara Joe McHugh, Jaloon, Critters, Nua, the Skullin, Lan, Berla, Condulin, Gio Horch, the Scholarly, Ostadger, Nigeliga, Glactor, and Kenu, a Tarish, Corluhan, Publi, Tahar, Sul, Gogarshar, Nalassi, Ivaim, Dun Skullvian, Shaw Hogging, Amas, Kenu, a Talyakishius, Egan Rin, Ejahish, Na Nachmeyer, Scholarly, is Skullin a specialty, Na and Rangan a specialty. Irithas a yenif yielinia, agus nach me masuniha shakoliakta de ye con yielinia a frosail. Bay and kenu le genif eg privegi major le yielinia a horch da galti egsula. Egerinia lin chaspan and torhi na hard teshta a su in ye. Gerwin kuig punches shart fwingid de galti and gradum. A hen in gelige ard level in Liana. Tad haskarak di lahar on ear huskert eg and jerry shakt in yasha eg flak hul na herin. Kodjaku eg genov omiokta snakomortish at ha on. Agus te bem moor egen fla or kursi changa in Liana. Sholu klar kemsiha de emakti mar in la factus egernashunta kanchugus kora in rahadaha eg emakt adagri kosche gelige na flia. Agus benyard karkal kora. Ungresen Kanch agus cora on chomai. Carher tús in ahur le clár emecti na gaelige con de chuid farmana agus na homi in anod alinia na sruhulia. Erin Carvel lad to me man and ochor iglahanya shart lahi ho holish shol her clar na nemak ti geliga don vrin sha roin egan amak august be kyol a clostel o kyoltery tradition to august saralia taran parchi ha a lot of survey a yenov major la ganasan a telefisha egan togra fis fisha la jarku pobble lorra nigeliga ilai tg kahat a fisru takaru a horch the fobble lorra nigeliga o kyon kyon na chira of a Parches of Fanil, Fechana Agazestakta, Baljahars Olus Oval and Fanil, Goshartanul, a three Giel and Fechana Agazestakta, Aves La Foil, Erin Egerlin, Augusta Gaholus, Egg Fis, Fisha, Bunk IE, Shamachodcha, Eli Gullier, Slan, August Bannock.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, August the 16th. The death has occurred of Tom Sterrett, Claggan, Milford. Remains reposing at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral service on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Milford Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, family and friends welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, Kev Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Annie Patrick McMonigal, Mina Tinney, Fintown. Her remains are reposing at her home. Rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal to St. Colum Kills Church, Fintown tomorrow to arrive for 6 o'clock and to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time from after the Rosary tonight until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. The death has occurred of Willie McDyer, Rennie Littermack Award. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12 noon in St. Bridget's Church, Littermack Award, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. House private on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Patricia McLean, 2 Binion Avenue, Letterkenny, Nay McDermott, Long Lane. Her remains will repose at the residence of Anthony and Molly Callan, 23 Dr. McGinley Road, Glencar, until 6 o'clock this evening, with removal at 6:30 going to St. Junan's Cathedral to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards to the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Medical 2, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Con McDade funeral director. The death has taken place of Nora Conahan, Forker, Milford. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass in St. Peter's Church, Milford at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations to Remelton Nursing Unit Patients Comfort Fund, care of McElwee funeral directors or any family member. Family time from 10:30 p.m. until 11 a.m. each day and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Patrick McGurr, Drumquin and Bedford. His remains are resting at his home residence at 57 Main Street, Drumquin. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Marie Curie, care of any family member or to Sean O'Kane and Sons funeral director. The death has occurred in Auckland, New Zealand, of John O'Kane, formerly of St. Columb's, Buncrana. And the death has taken place of Mary Lyons, Drumskellen, Muff. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 12:15 for 1 o'clock Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Ishgahane, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please, donations if desired to Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home, care of Liam Collins, funeral director or any family member.